And welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today I have with me Stephen. He is an author. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and how you got started?
Yes, I am an author of horror and supernatural thrillers. Probably got started with that back when I was watching crazy horror movies back in the 80s and 70s and reading Stephen King and really got hooked on that. I'm actually a college professor during the day, but I write at night, and I've written 4 novels. I have a couple of nonfiction books too, which is strange. I know that's an odd mix. People usually stick to one thing. I had the opportunity to do some of that. And yeah, I have these 2 lives I lead. One, I work at a university, and that night I switch over and start thinking about really crazy stuff and trying to write that.
Yes. And I noticed on your website, you said that you were a scientist or a researcher at a university, a research professor.
Yeah, I actually do research. So I'm in the lab during the day and trying to solve some issues with exercise and older adults and trying to keep them healthy. And then I write some scary stuff at night. So it's the complete opposite of what you might expect. But I think everyone has some sort of creative element inside of them that they need to let out. And I found it took me many years to tap into that and realize that was just as an important a part of life as what you do to earn your living. So I think that's a really important thing. If you play piano, if you sing, do these things, because it's really what makes life worth living.
Has writing been a passion of yours before you got into research and your job?
I would say writing wasn't so much. It was reading always has been. Always have a book going. It wasn't just in the horror genre, but any fiction genre, I was always drawn into books. But I wasn't really a writer until my daughter started writing. And I started reading her work. And she actually at one point challenged me to write a book. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't write a book. But I tried to do one for her. I tried to do one where I thought maybe I would just write and give it to her for a gift, a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, and just as a gift to my daughter. And I started to take it a little seriously and started going to writing conferences and eventually came up with a book that I thought was maybe worthy of trying to publish and got a publisher for it. So it was, I apparently had some mini hidden talent there that I didn't know about. And I've really worked hard to progress with every novel.
The question I have for you is I've interviewed a couple of writers here and there, and they've always done something in either the romance genre or comedy book. How did you get into the horror genre and what inclined you to pursue that?
Yeah, so I think horror is a really interested and maybe even misunderstood kind of a genre. I think a lot of times people think about horror as just slasher stuff. And I don't even consider that horror. I feel like that's just, I don't know what that is. But I think horror, when done right, can be a real way to deal with the fear that we have about all sorts of things in our lives. It's like a safe way to be afraid. And it's so that I think it's a really interesting thing to do. I think it serves a purpose. And I got into it when I got into horror when I was a kid. My brother and I used to just stay up late and watch scary movies all the time, or we'd get on our bikes. And this was in the day when you'd ride down to the library because they were showing movies. And it was just, it was great to see all these horror movies from like the 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s. It was a lot of fun. And all that stuff just stuck. And I decided when I started writing, I was going to make it scary, or at least try to.
Would you say that you started off as a consumer of horror movies or horror books, and that's what prompted you to write in that genre?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was definitely the movies that started me. But then when I first read Stephen King, and I think Salem's Lot was the first book I read, and it was probably in the early 80s, I couldn't believe that I could be so frightened by words and having those pictures form in my mind. And yeah, I was hooked, and I've read or tried to read just about every horror author there ever has been. And it's just amazing. I'm just amazed by all of them. And still, I'll get on Amazon and I'll try someone new, someone I don't know but looks good. And I try to do that all the time. So yeah, I was definitely a consumer of horror, both in film and books, before I started writing.
And how do you find inspiration for your books? Can you walk me through your writing process?
That's really interesting. I don't know where it comes from. I know that I probably approach books very differently from most writers. I know a lot of people who they storyboard everything. They've got an idea in their mind. They know what's going to happen from beginning to end and all the chapters in between. And I don't. I will start with an idea that can I can come to me. I don't know how. I'll walk in my dog and I think of something, and I don't always know where the novel's going to end, which makes the writing process a little odd because I will go in a direction, I'll start something, I'll have a vague idea where how it could end. But then I start writing, these characters start to develop and they start to become these living things that I can't just storyboard. I can't get to know them until I'm writing them. And then they take a turn somewhere. And sometimes I have to go back and change something because I'm like, no, this guy's going this direction. And it makes for a very long, a long drawn out writing process. It takes me about a year to write a book. And it's a long time. And so my productivity isn't huge, but I really take time to get to know
Yeah,
these characters
you
as I'm
enjoy
writing.
the process.
Yeah, the process is fantastic. That's what makes the book. And I found that in my first book, I was more deliberate and I knew what was going to happen. I knew it was going to end and I wasn't sure how to get there. And then the second in my series, so I have a series of books that I published through Hydra Publications. It was a trilogy. The second book, I had no idea where it was going to end. I knew it was going to start because I had some characters and I just let it happen. And I did that for the third book too. And it really went in a very good direction. I felt like both all those books were very well, somehow they came out. I don't know how it happened.
How do you go about character development in your stories? Do you associate specific traits with the character and then just put yourself in those shoes and think, what would the character do if I were him or her, or what would they react to?
Yeah, I try to make characters with very real reactions. And I do try to put myself into each of those characters' headspaces. And it's funny because some of the character in my first trilogy, he's a college professor. You almost put yourself into certain characters. And then you get more confident to use maybe people you've known or people you've run into, not necessarily specifically, but the kind of characteristics that you've seen in people. But I think it's really important to have real three-dimensional people in your writing and not just have a character who's going to get knocked off quickly or something. Make the reader feel the loss of that character because there's something really special about them. I believe that's really important. Very funny. One of my first novel, there was a character in the book who, when my sister read the book, she goes, "Oh yeah, that's so and so from high school." And I was like, "What? No, I didn't. That's not." And I named him his same first name. I didn't know I was actually writing a character that I knew really well. Almost, my sister identified him, and I was like, "You're absolutely right. That was him." It's just funny how that can happen.
Yeah, I know. That's incredible. I was talking to one of my friends, and she also read this book that her friend, who was an author, released. And she was reading the story. She went back and she thought, oh, I know this character. I know this person from real life. He is exactly this person. And it's funny when you look at authors and how they write, you notice that they draw from these other actual real life people, but they might not necessarily be them.
You may not be aware that you're doing it. And that was the funny thing in this character. I was like, I had no idea that I had nailed this guy to exactly, even to his mannerisms. And I didn't know I was doing it, which was strange.
And when you just go in to your computer program, I don't know what you use, a Word docs to write your book, and you're starting to write, how do you keep yourself from writing, going off track, and keep yourself aligned with the plot of the book and what you want to say?
And I think that's a question about the way my style goes or how I do that. There are times when I do go a little off track and I have to backtrack. It's really about getting to a place I think we're going to get to and trying to. And of course, what happens is I put it down for a little bit or I'll stop writing and then I'm off somewhere and I'll think about, oh, yeah, it would be great if they went that way. And then something opens up. I wish I could explain how that happens. I don't know how it happens. I'm sure there's other authors who experience this, but I've been confident so far that I will get where I need to go. And then once I get there, I will go back and add some little Easter eggs here and there or change some things once I've got it. But it's a hard question to answer. I don't know how I know not to go off track, or even if I do, I never feel like it's wasted time. Any writing is always positive time. You've created something, something is on paper, and you may go back and change it, or you may even wipe it away, but it was the process of doing it was valuable.
And when you're writing, do you ever have periods where you can't write, you have writer's block? How do you cope with that? How do you deal with it? Do you just sit at the computer for as long as possible and try to cram it out, or do you go take a break?
That's where I think even writing something that you know may not work is a good thing. Try something, just write them into something that, hey, this may work. This may be a chapter down the road. Maybe this is just something extra that gets you to know them better. It may not even add to the story at the time, but even if you get to know your character better, it seems to trigger something inside that's, yeah, like I can move this forward, even have to go back and wipe it. So I haven't had a lot of examples of that. I know that during the pandemic, everyone had all the time in the world, but I couldn't really write during that time. I felt like it probably was a good time to write because people needed to read stuff, but I was thinking more, wow, it doesn't seem as important, or it seemed like there were other things that were more important or something. So I didn't write for almost a year. It was very strange. That was the only real writer's block that I probably had. And I don't know if it was a true writer's block. The novel I'm writing right now, I started before a novel I started and completed and got published by a new publisher, Sunbury Press, Hellbender Books. And that's going to be out in the spring, a book called The Carousel Man. But I actually started that and finished it within the time I'm writing the novel that I'm writing now. So it was, I put down one novel for a while and started another one. Finished it, and now I'm back with a lot of great ideas for this old one, which will be the new one, which is strange. I can't, I wish I had. I've read so many authors about how they work and how they do things, and I think if you try to do what someone else does, you're never going to find that thing that you do well. And so I try not to tell people how I do this because I don't think it's the right blueprint for anybody. But somehow it's gotten 4.5 novels out so far. So, yeah, it's worked pretty well.
May I ask, are you the type of author who believes in consistently writing? Once you start a book, do you think I have to work on this every day until it's done? Or do you leave it for a couple of days, come back to it? Will it take you a week, or do you cram it where you go, I'm not going to write today, but I'm going to do 3 hours, 4 hours of writing on Saturday? Do you have a schedule?
No, I don't. And I think one of the things that makes it difficult is having another job that you do and that you're responsible for. You have to find that time that it met, that you're ready to do it. And I can go take a break from it, go on vacation a little bit, come back and pick right up. I don't think that's ever been a problem. I always want to write. I can't wait to get home from work so I can write. That's really what I want to do. And there are some times when you get in front of the page and you're just not really into it. And it's best to go watch a horror movie or do something else to get your mind off it. Go for a walk and let things just simmer. But I've never been a big believer in I have to sit down and write. I have to sit down and play the guitar. I have to sit down or do something that force myself to do something I love to do anyway. Some people find that discipline very helpful. I think my desire to do it is the discipline. Like I totally want to do it. I'm usually fighting the hours till I can do it. But that's an interesting question, and people have different ideas about that.
I'm going to ask something about the technicalities of your writing. Once you're reading other books by horror authors or you're watching horror movies, are there specific techniques or ideas that you draw from and add to your books?
I think that's you always find interesting stories. I just watched a horror movie. I'd never seen it, but I know, but people had talked about it for many years, called Sinister, and it's with Ethan Hawke. It's pretty good, and I love the story in it. I loved how they got to where they were, but I always find I don't want to do Sinister 2. I don't want to take an idea that someone else has and do that. Now, that's a problem when you're trying to get an agent or people want, it's this meets this book that meets this book, or this movie meets this movie. And I'm not saying that people who have agented writers are great writers, and they've hit on something that's mass appeal. And I just haven't found a desire to do something that someone else has done. I'd rather do something like totally original. Not that there's anything that's ever truly original, but try to go that way. And if it doesn't, if it's not mainstream horror or something that someone can say, who am I going to sell that to? Mm-hmm. There's always a lot of readers who want to read good horror stories, and they'll find them.
What advice would you give authors who are trying to tailor their books to appeal to a mass audience because they might want to make sales, or for whatever reason? Would you say that you should compromise your authenticity in terms of the writing, or how would you go about that?
No, I don't think you compromise your, listen, we all want to make sales. We all want to sell books. And if you have a good idea and you hit on something that's along the vein of someone else, I applaud you. If you can do that, that's great. And if you can get sales, if you're really successful, that's great. I would love to be that. I just haven't really seen something that I want to emulate so much. I want to emulate the style of a writer, perhaps. I used to love Stephen King's early stuff. I loved the way he got in the heads of his characters and what they were thinking. And I always, and the dialogues they were having when in italics with themselves. That was a way I really tried to pattern my writing after. But not so much as saying I'm going to write The Stand 2 or Christine 2. So yeah, I've read a lot of writers who I just love their style and have stolen a piece here and there, or tried a little bit here and there that they do, or something that's interesting. And I think that's what makes any writer. And I think most writers are huge readers and readers of great authors. So it's like musicians, they steal little chords and licks from other people. I think writers do the same, because it's as an homage. You try to write in the style that you used to read and that you love.
And with your books, or the books that you've previously written, do you use a specific narrative, or do you use a lot of dialogue in your books? How do you go stylistically about writing your books?
Yeah, I do. I use a lot of narrative. I like a lot of realistic conversation with people. I see a lot of writers writing in this first person thing right now. Things are happening at the moment. I'm always in the third person. It's happened in the past.
Yes.
I've debated trying different styles like that technically, but I just find myself right now going with what I enjoy, which is that third person past tense kind of writing. But I do like the immediacy of kind of things that are happening at the moment. That's exciting. But I tend to do a lot of writing where I'm looking back. There's something that's happening now, something that happened many years ago, and trying to tie that all together. So yeah, that's the direction I typically go.
With a horror novel, you'd expect everything would be in the moment to create more fear. Do you, if you're writing it as if it happened in the past, how do you still evoke those strong emotions?
It's not that it's not happening in the present. It's just I'm using the third person, like he went to the store, as opposed to I'm going. There's that immediacy you typically get from that kind of style. But
and have you shown your book to family members, friends? How has their feedback impacted the next books that you have created?
Yeah, when I first started writing first book that I was going to give to my daughter, and I eventually did give it to my daughter, but I was working with my brother, who's a really great, he's read more books than I think anyone I've ever known. And I did the old, hey, would you read it kind of thing? Let me know. And he really encouraged me to move forward with it. So I've had, that was very affirming, and let some other people read it. And I have a group of people, even the family, you always start with the family, but I have people who've read the books. I have people who've read the series that are my little group of beta readers that I value their input all the time. So I seek that when I'm finished with a book, and I really ask them, I give them a series of questions about, what did you think about this? What would you do? Was this realistic? Or any characters you didn't buy? Now I've evolved that from, hey, would you give it a read? And listening what people tell you, to saying, hey, think about these things, because I do think about the readership and who would read it outside, and looking at some of the things that derail a book, in my opinion, when I read a book and I'm like, ah, I don't know if I would have bought that character's reaction. I don't know. I didn't really like that character because of this or something. And yeah, I let people read it. And then I, of course, give them a copy of the book that's coming out when it comes out. And it's a good relationship. It's great to have a team of readers and people who are not in your family, because your family tends to tell you things you
Yes,
want to hear.
it's
But
amazing.
having,
It's great.
yeah, it's great, but it doesn't help you as a writer sometimes. So getting that first book out or that second book out, and then having people who actually liked it and then saying, hey, would you think about reading my next one? Maybe they've given you an Amazon review, or they've written to you and said, I like the book, but maybe you should have done this. Getting people in your corner is a really good thing for a writer.
Do you ever show your work to anyone before your book is completely finished? Do you ever show a chapter to your friend or your family member and ask for feedback during the writing process, or would you leave that to the end?
Yeah, I would leave that to the end. It's just too much context they wouldn't have. I work very, like, I do another thing writing that probably most people don't do, is most people probably write and go back, and I try to work on chapters as almost separate little books at a time as it's building. And so I have a very finished piece by the time the book is written. And then, of course, I go back and go through it. But I can work for many days on a single chapter, trying to get the writing right, trying to get the language right. So I could actually give those to someone, but I don't think they would find it as interesting as when they look through the whole thing. And so I try to get that done, as it's always draft one, and you think you're done, and then you show it to people and they're like, ah, maybe you're not that done, and you want to change something. And no matter what, even if you're submitting it to agents or publishers, you're still looking at it and being like, I might just change that a little bit. And it's never finished until you can just get it out and someone says they want to publish it. Then you're like, okay, it's done. But if you didn't do that, you'd still change it. It's crazy. It's hard to actually finish a book without wanting to go back and just keep tweaking it. And so I've learned that you just have to stop doing that.
Yes. So I've used this analogy for creatives, and it's when you record a film or you're filming a movie, you don't record every scene from beginning to end. It's not linear. You don't start scene one, scene two, scene three, scene four. It's
Right.
all broken up here and there. And I feel as though that's applicable to writing, to music, to creating anything. It's not this linear process.
Not at all. Not at all. I found my first book, I wrote the first chapters and the last chapter, and then weaved it till I got to the end. I mean, I was done with these two distinct sections and then had to figure out what was going to go in the middle. And that was, I don't know if I recommend that, but I definitely go from, I'm writing a book right now where I went back and I was like, oh, that would be a great scene if these two met earlier and did this confrontational thing. So I went back and did that and put that in there and tweaked a few things around it so it made sense, and have an ending part where I did this ending chapter. And then I'm like, oh, it's never linear. And you just continually, you can write a character for a long time in a book and then add another character in there and you bring him in along the way. It's a bizarre process. I wish. And I can't, it's hard to explain it. It's hard to explain it. And I think I've heard great musicians say, I don't know where it comes from. Like a song comes to me or something. I think sometimes these stories just in the process of writing comes to you. And if you tried to break it down into X, Y, and Z, and I know there's writing classes and people take writing classes and those are good. And it's great to learn all the technical parts of things. But I think there's some part of it, that creative thing, that you don't know where it comes from, and if you tried to break it down, you'd break it apart, and you don't want to do that.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Sometimes in the beginning, you have to learn all of the rules, but then at
Right.
the end, you forget them all because they might
Right.
not be
Break them. Oh, because you're
Yes.
choosing to break them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was very regimented in my first book, and had been working with somebody at several a conference, and then was working with them as a little bit of an author coach almost, as I didn't have a lot of experience in. I didn't go to a program in college to write. I was doing science and wrote a whole bunch of research papers, but that's not creative. That's not
Yes,
writing.
that's not creative
So
writing.
I had to, I it, it's I had to relearn how to do that, and was very regimented. I was told to do this. I can't do that. I can't go outside the lines. And then I would go back and read a Stephen King book and be like, wow, he really goes outside the
Yes.
lines. And that's where you give yourself the freedom after I think after a novel or two where you're, okay, I know this is going to work out. I'll do it. I'm going to do it my way and see what happens. So,
how do you go about creating a community for your books and your stories? How do you market your books to your specific audience? And then how do you engage with them, form a community?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question. With wanting to be best-selling author, and you want thousands of people writing to you all the time, it's so hard. And I think one of the big answers, it takes a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a number of books to do that. I was very discouraged at first when I put my first book out, and I was like, I'm going to go to a show and I only had one book. And it was like, it's hard to gather that audience. I think what you do over time as you, I like going to a lot of shows. I like doing a lot of live things where readers are there and they're going to stop at your table if they like the look of your books, and you get to talk about books, and they'll sign, you may buy a book and they sign your newsletter list, and you build your newsletter. And that's a really big one, because every time you have something exciting to say, you've got 1,000 people there that are going to, and it takes a long time to get 1,000 people. It's you have to be patient. Patience is a big thing. And I think people want to write their first book and be famous right away. And it's, you get to the point where you realize it's a long process.
Exactly.
It has to be something you love. And you have to love to engage with people about writing. And that's everywhere you go and everywhere you're doing, whether it's an author event, it's just talking to people about books and throwing out your cards and showing them your books and giving them your website and trying to gather people that way. And it's a long process.
I know everybody says don't judge a book by its cover, but how crucial would you say that the book cover of your book is?
I think it's so important. It's so important, and it has to look professional. It has to be great art, especially for horror. I like a real dark imagery kind of thing. And I had a great artist when I was working. Hydra Publications was the first publisher I published a trilogy with. And I found a guy that I just loved his work, and I wanted the publisher to hire him to do the work, and he did, and it was great. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback on my covers. And when people come to shows, I'm like, you got a good artist. And that's what brings people to a table. So I think one of the most important things is for any author, whether you're with a publisher or you're self-publishing, spend the money and get a good cover. It really does help sell your book. Yeah. It's so important.
Okay, with that, I want to wrap up this episode. Do you have any websites that we can shout out to, or our audience can go and check out? Any social media platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my writer's website is www.stephenpaulsayers.com. Stephen with a PH. Paul Sayers, SAYERS.com. And I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Look for Sayers or Stephen Paul Sayers, author. You'll find him. And I'm on X also.
Okay, thank you so much. And if you enjoyed this episode of Mass Monologues, please share with a friend or family member, and we hope to see you next time. Thank you so much. Bye.